You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hope you had a great weekend, everybody. Probably short on sleep, long on opinions. Welcome to the program. Were you part of the 80% of the media who picked the Kansas City Chiefs, including Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1, who will now be known as Nick Wrong this entire week?
Wow.
Yes.
Officially?
Yeah. Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. First things first, Nick Wrong, because he said the Chiefs were going to win by 16. And if you see Nick Wright and you run into Nick Wright, just say, hey, Nick Wrong. And you have my permission. You have my blessing.
Wow.
Nick wasn't able to join us today. He said that he had a last-second Fox obligation that meant he could not join us on the show. But Nick said he'll join us tomorrow on the program. All right. Welcome. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp at danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Come up with a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day. Say good morning to those watching on Peacock, listening on Chat Row, and also our great radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities in America. Let's see, where do we start? If I told you on Friday the Chiefs are not going to score a touchdown, that would be probably one of the colder takes you could possibly have. Or Rob Gronkowski is going to score 2 touchdowns. If there is a blowout, it'll be the Buccaneers blowing out the Chiefs. Nobody had that. I think if anybody had a blowout, it was Nick Wrong, and he had them by 16. A lot of people had it Chiefs winning by 4, 5, 6, or if the Patriots, I keep saying that with Brady, old habits die hard. The Buccaneers were going to win. It was going to be by a couple of points. I had the Buccaneers winning 28-27. I still think. And thought, and have thought this way the entire postseason, the defense was the real MVP. I said on Friday that this is a quarterback game, and one quarterback's going to win the MVP, and one is going to lose it. And that's what happened. Tom Brady was going to be the MVP if the Bucs won, and Patrick Mahomes would have been the MVP if the Chiefs won. That doesn't mean it went to the right people, because Tom Brady was great, but that defense set the tone for everything. Defense was great. Bend, didn't break. Chiefs had a chance inside the red zone. You come away with 3 field goals. Shaq Barrett, wonderful. Devin White, you know how I felt about him all season long? He's only 22. But if you're going to put that much pressure on Patrick Mahomes and you don't blitz, you got a great chance of winning. And that's what happened. He was hurried 24 times, if you follow such stats. But it comes down to, can you make some plays? And who would have thought former Patriots Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown are going to score touchdowns in the Super Bowl? Leonard Fournette was kicked to the curb by the Jags. He was cut. Leonard Fournette was wonderful last night. Nobody wanted Leonard Fournette. You already had Ronald Jones, so you had a good running back. They brought in Fournette, and Fournette was great last night. Had touchdown run. He rushed for almost 90 yards. He was there for a couple of pass receptions. He kept the moving the chains. And that's a big difference here with that team. And you had not the deep ball. I mean, Mike Evans had a couple of catches. But, you know, who would have thought Gronk was going to be a big difference maker there, and then Antonio Brown as well. But even though he's considered the GOAT, it's still easy to take Tom Brady for granted. We're so used to seeing him on the podium after a Super Bowl. I think we lose sight of how improbable this run is. Because keep in mind, if you're old enough to understand the Buccaneers organization, it has been the laughing stock of the NFL. I don't think anybody's close to the Buccaneers, and they do have a Super Bowl. I mean, the Lions are bad. The Browns at least had a legacy back in the 60s when they were a championship team before the Super Bowl era. But the Buccaneers, they were the laughing stock of the NFL, and they hadn't done anything since 2007. So you get a 42-year-old quarterback who's going to join you. There's no training camp. There's no preseason. And we're somehow going to make this work. And he goes in there and he recruits Gronk. He lobbies for Antonio Brown. And all of a sudden, I think Brady realized, I like my weapons. I got a coach I like. We have a fun back and forth. But I think what Brady really saw was just how good that defense could be, because it was young and they were able to make plays. And so Brady didn't have to feel that pressure of, I got to go out there and put up 28 points every single weekend. But when they lost 3 of 4 in November, when they got blown out 38-3 to New Orleans, if you would have said that team's winning the Super Bowl, I would have said, no, they're not. I think I even had doubts, and I had them making the playoffs. I had doubts that they were going to make the playoffs back then. I mean, they were a wild card team. But it all came together when it's supposed to come together, and that is the playoffs. But I still go back to the defense. Even though Brady transformed the Buccaneers, you could and you could say this is his most improbable title. Maybe you go back to the first one he had when he was with New England, when he took over for Drew Bledsoe. But this is different. It's incredible the Bucs team could come together so quickly. And, you know, Brady's achieved everything. But the feeling is he hasn't achieved anything. If you see him on the field, he's demonstrative. It's so important to him. And he does have the title of greatest of all time. But congrats to Brady, the Buccaneers. We witnessed NFL history once again last night. Another milestone in Brady's remarkable career. And congrats to the Bucs and the greatest quarterback of all time. Here is Tom Brady talking about that defense.
They stepped up to the challenge. And, you know, you go up against a guy like Pat, incredible player. And Aaron, MVP, 2 weeks ago, they played incredible. And then Drew, they played great. They stepped up. They rose to the occasion.
He also had this to say about his legacy.
Have you given any thought to what this all means to your legacy, all the factors that you had to go through to make it to this point?
You know, it's, man, we've been grinding pretty hard, so I haven't really had a lot of time to think about all the, you know, things like that. So I'm just blessed, grateful for my teammates, all the people that have supported us all year, my boy Alex, you know, it's been a great year.
The Chiefs are just the third team to not score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. Joining the Dolphins, they played Dallas and lost 24-3, and the Rams against New England, that was 13-3. Let me run down the guest list. Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk, will join us coming up. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. We had Rick on a couple of times when Brady joined the Buccaneers, and we've had him on periodically throughout the season, and even after bad games where you go, man, I don't know, got my doubts about this team. Tom Curran, who covers the Patriots.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I figured I'd have Tom on. Tommy was tweeting last night. I'm curious how this is going over in the New England area with Tom Brady. But the Buccaneers handle the Chiefs. Brady wins the MVP. Phone calls are always welcome, as we always do every Monday. It's best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like, 877-3DP-SHOW. Sign up for the DP Show newsletter, available daily, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can go to danpatrick.com, enter your email address in the box that slides out in the bottom right corner. Some people have reminded me, hey, you said the Chiefs were the better team. Yes, going into that game, I thought the Chiefs were the better team, but I said, and I've said on numerous times, I'd never been against Tom Brady. Until he loses, where I think that he is not playing well, then I would change my opinion. If I was betting Tom Brady, I'd be a rich man. Even when he lost to the Eagles, he played as well as you could possibly play, maybe the greatest performance in a losing effort in Super Bowl history. Brady makes plays. Now, did I have questions about the officiating? Absolutely. If I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm going to look at that and say it felt one-sided, and there were times in the first half I thought that there were a couple of times they could have picked up the flags. You know, Chris Jones' retaliation, Tyrann Mathieu's retaliation, the pass interference in the end zone, I didn't think those were necessary calls. Mike Evans getting tripped. Yeah, you got to call it. Offsides. No, I mean, it just, there are moments where you go, Kansas City didn't look ready. They didn't look ready for what Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, did. And we knew, we said it, that I thought if Shaq Barrett is going against the same tackle that the Denver Broncos and Von Miller took advantage of 6 years ago, I'm guessing that tackle is not that much better than he was 6 years ago. And Shaq Barrett is a beast. And they were missing a couple of offensive linemen. And they took advantage of that. When you don't have to blitz Mahomes, and you just play zone, usually first down and second down, and they really mix things up, take away Tyreek Hill. Best you can. Kelce had catches. Take away Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's the one where that's the backbreaker. If you let Kelce catch and you move down, but you move down slower, it's okay. 8 yards a catch, we're fine with that. We cannot give up a home run. And they didn't. Secondary, that was belittled after what happened week 8 when Tyreek Hill burned him for, you know, almost 275 yards. They came back and played well. They put pressure. They hit Mahomes. And that's another thing that I said on Friday. If you don't get to him to sack him, hit him. They hit him 12 times. Tom Brady got hit 2 times. But it felt like that touchdown at the end of the first half, that was it. It was strange because I thought, okay, the only guy who's ever come back from that kind of deficit is the one who's leading 21-3. And as much as, you know, we love the magic of Mahomes, it wasn't there. And it reminded me, believe it or not, of Patrick Mahomes in college. Because I watched Texas Tech football. They weren't very good, but I did watch. And usually I'd come in on Monday and tell the Danettes, this guy, he's a lot of fun. I don't know if he can play in the NFL. But they'd lose 45-41, and he just ran for his life. And that's what I thought when I was watching. He ran for his life. And he's got a toe he's going to need surgery on. And given the circumstances, I mean, he had moments. He played well, considering they put a lot of pressure. They hit him, and his receivers didn't help him out. But if you don't put pressure on Brady, you don't have any interceptions. They had the one that was called back due to a holding penalty on the other side of the field with Tyrann Mathieu. That was big. You need one or two of those, and they didn't get it. And Mahomes getting picked off twice. This program is brought to you by M-Drive. Take the supplement I take every day. Powerful ingredients backed by science. You get energized, stronger, leaner. Go to mdrivedan.com today. Get free shipping. 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't let age beat you. Refine your prime with M-Drive. McLovin, what kind of poll question do we have?
Okay,
today?
I have a real poll question. But before that, I have a question for people in the room who picked the Bucks. Okay. Which was a bigger factor, not betting against Tom Brady or the offensive line injuries? Because you seem to be focused on both of those in the 2 weeks leading up.
Well, I wouldn't bet against Brady, but the most important element with all of this was the offensive line for Kansas City. Plus, it's not like they helped the offensive line. They had five guys on the offensive line, but it's not like they were keeping people in with Shaq Barrett and Dominican Sue, and that was surprising because the line obviously couldn't be as good as what they normally have. I mean, you're losing three starters, and you're moving guys around. And even if you had a healthy offensive line, Tampa Bay was still going to put pressure on Patrick Mahomes. I truly believe that. If you did that to Green Bay, you were going to do that to Patrick Mahomes. Yes, McLeod.
So that leads to the real poll question.
Okay.
Who would you have voted for Super Bowl MVP? And here are the choices we came up with. Tom Brady, of course. Rob Gronkowski, Leonard Fournette, 89 yards on a TD, Devin White, the linebacker, or Shaq Barrett, the pass rusher. And we can add people if anyone has someone else.
I always think outside the box here, but I'm in the minority. I would have given it to Todd Bowles. I don't know if it's possible to give the most valuable player. Maybe it's the most valuable person. But what Todd Bowles did was unthinkable. He basically shut out the Kansas City Chiefs. No touchdowns. This is a defensive performance that will be remembered forever. I would have given it to him. If you can't give it to him, I guess I would give it to Brady. Because I'll say this when I watch the game. Brady has that ability to... you always feel like you're in the game because you are. When you're down 28-3 to Atlanta, you got Brady, and that even the Falcons said that on the sidelines. Hey, don't celebrate. They still got Brady on the other side. But to have that ability to have a calming influence or we're never out of the game has to be reassuring. And you got, you know, like a minute to go in the first half, one timeout, and he seemed fine. And he finds Antonio Brown for the touchdown, and I go, I think that's the game. Yeah, McLevin.
One timeout and two Andy Reid timeouts.
No, I don't. The Chiefs thought they're getting the ball back. Like, hey, you know, if they go three and out, we're going to get the ball back, or they kick a field goal, we're going to get the ball back. And all of a sudden, he's taking timeouts, and I'm going, man, this might come back and haunt you. And then he finds Antonio Brown for the touchdown. So, who feels worse today? Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft.
Whose call was it? It's Kraft's, right?
I think it has to start with Belichick. Because if Belichick says, you know, let's give Tom a two-year deal or three-year extension, then Robert Kraft would do that. Because Tom's like a son to him. I don't think he's like a son to Belichick. Yes, he.
I would think Robert Kraft feels worse because I would imagine Bill Belichick still doesn't think he did anything wrong. He woke up this morning like, yeah, I still made the right decision. I'm glad I got rid of those players.
Do you think Belichick watched the game?
First half.
He had seen enough.
They complained that Brady was getting all the calls.
He and his girlfriend are there. That's not a penalty. No, he wouldn't
God,
be like
he
that.
He always gets all the calls.
He'd be like, oh, that's not a penalty. Tom gets all the calls. Yeah, Paulie.
No matter what, Belichick will never admit to watching Super Bowl. He said, I was watching Josh Allen tape in his basement for 4 hours.
I'll do 2021. All right, phone calls, we'll get to those. Best and worst of the weekend. But Chris Sims will join us. And if you're a Chiefs fan, I'm here for you. Just to let you know. Great year. But these dynasties are tricky. Yeah, they are. Just ask Russell Wilson. This is littered. You know, the NFL is littered with the, boy, we're going to be a dynasty here. Patrick Mahomes, in his first three quarters of both Super Bowls, has not been a good quarterback. He wasn't last year against San Francisco. Came through when he needed to, but he has not had good numbers through the first three quarters. And again last night. But the line last night did not help out at all. Yeah, McLevin.
Should he? I felt like he didn't throw the ball early enough. He was trying to make big plays.
I thought he was holding on to the ball too long. And he was getting hit so many times because I thought he was holding on to the ball. You know, Brady doesn't hold on to the ball, but he's not looking for the big play.
Is that because Mahomes thinks he can always make a play?
Sure. And he normally does. I mean, let's not forget, he even had incompletions last night that quarterbacks wouldn't even attempt. It goes back to the line when I talked to Pete Sampras about Roger Federer. He said he hit shots that I don't even think I could create in my mind to hit. And he hits those. And that was the way, you know, Patrick Mahomes was. There were a couple of them where he's in the grasp and he's somehow throwing the ball 25 yards down the field. All right, we'll take a break. Your phone call's coming up. And, yeah, we'll try to take as many phone calls as we can today. Because a lot of times that Monday after the Super Bowl, everybody's got an opinion, whether it was halftime show, commercials, or the game itself. So 20 after the hour, just getting started. Dan and the Dan and Stan Patrick Show. Got a great night's sleep, but then I always do because I have the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed. Proven quality sleep. Sleepers routinely use their Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed and features the Sleep IQ technology. They get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year. We know quality sleep's more important than ever. We try to balance our life and health in 2021. Not only it's a natural immunity booster, also helps with energy and recovery. And there's certain things you can do to give you a better night's sleep. You know, the health and wellness build upon those goals. As far as when you go to bed, don't have a TV there or your laptop. You're binging things, your phone there that's in the bedroom with you. Proven quality sleep, game-changing sleep. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus special financing on all smart beds only for a limited time at Sleep Number stores, sleepnumber.com/Patrick. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Your phone calls are always welcome every Monday. Best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked and didn't like. Actually, that sounds like I'm talking about the halftime show, the best and worst of the weekend. And I didn't mean it to be that way. I thought it was okay. I didn't know if the weekend had enough hits to do a whole halftime show, but did he do one song twice? Or is that just me? I thought maybe he kind of did one in the beginning and they came back at the very end and then did the same song again. Yes, Paul.
Again, I'm not Mr. Weekend, but anytime you could watch the, I'm not the big fan of his music generally, but he did keep you your attention for the entire thing. He didn't walk out of the room, which I think is a big part of his job. It was really weird and creative.
I got nauseous watching the video.
That was his goal.
To make me nauseous?
You remember it. In a weird way, like, I I'm not a fan of his music, but I was a fan of the
I don't think the goal is, hey, I'm going to make people nauseous. That doesn't sound
That's
like a good
approach.
That's
the name of his third album.
I'm going to make you nauseous. Yeah. Yes, Todd?
I feel like the more bells and whistles and smoke and colors and lights is a way of covering up maybe that the music isn't that great.
Wow.
Yeah, I said it.
Okay.
I put it out there. It's like, we'll take your attention away from the actual song. And look at the colors, the pinks and the blues. It's all over the place.
You know what would have been a hot take? If you said you really loved The Weeknd and you actually knew who he was, because you have no idea who
he is. It's not spelled like the word Weeknd. I know that.
Thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
This program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz vans. They go far beyond from their customization options. Cutting-edge tech to the five-star sales, service, and financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans built, equipped, and engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking the all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. We've been lucky to have Chris Sims from Pro Football Talk live joining us for most of the season, former NFL quarterback. If I had talked to you an hour before the Super Bowl, Chris, tell me what you think, what would happen in the game, what would you have said?
I would have told you that if the Bucs wanted to win the football game, they would have to play a similar style of football to like the 1990 Giants against the Buffalo Bills. And I would have told you, I'm not so sure that still will work. I worry about their ability to stop the Kansas City passing game. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs will win the game. That's what I would have told you before the game.
I was curious about the adjustments or the lack thereof that Kansas City had. We know that Tampa made adjustments from the last time they played. It felt like Kansas City thought that they could do what they did the previous time, Chris. So,
right.
I mean, that was kind of strange there. What adjustments could the Chiefs have made, in the first half or certainly the second half?
Right. Well, I mean, first off, I think you bring up a good point. That's the psychosis, I think, of like when you've lost to a team, right? The two teams have played each other earlier in the year, and now it's the Super Bowl. The team that lost, I do think, has the advantage in that because they go, wait, we got to change something, right, Dan? What we did the first time is not going to work, and we might have to gamble and take a risk here and there. The team that won, of course, comes going, hey, we can still do a lot of the stuff we did first time around. It all worked. So let's stay and keep some of that game plan there. So that is the, some of the psychosis. You could fall into the trap there. What I thought we would see more of course, I was worried about the pass rush of the Bucs and all of that. We know that. But what I've seen down the stretch of the year is a lot of teams have tried to do what Tampa did to the Chiefs last night. But the Chiefs have still had a phenomenal short passing game and other ways to get the ball moving that way than to go, wait, okay, you want to play all this coverage? All right, well, we're picking you apart with the short passing game. Now you need to start coming up and covering us a little tighter, and then they take shots down the field. But that was the greatness of Bowles' defense, I think. One, the front four got there by themselves for the most part of the night. They brought a few blitzes real early just to make Kansas City think about it and then played coverage from there on out. And I think the other big thing too, Dan, sorry for the long answer, is the two middle linebackers in the middle of the field allowed them to play that style of football because then they could play safeties deep, protect the sidelines. All right, now we're vulnerable in the middle, but we got two super freaks in here who we think can handle Kelce to a degree. And that's really the brilliance of what Todd Bowles did.
Who should have been the MVP?
I think it's It's hard for me not to go with Brady.
Okay.
You know, I think realistically, you know, Devin White, I think, is a guy that should have been in that conversation of watching the football game. You know, but I think when you're going to take one person player, even though it wasn't like jaw dropping, I still think Brady, everything he did with that team, still playing pretty damn good last night, is still unbelievable. I do think the story of the game is the Buccaneers defense, but I think if you give an MVP to anybody, you give it to Tom Brady.
Could they have given it to Todd Bowles?
I mean,
most valuable person.
Right. I hear you.
But I don't think you're going to – this will be remembered for our lifetime, what they did. They held the Chiefs without a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
I agree. I wish they could pay more. I'm with you. Listen, you know me. I love quarterbacks. I love them all. But this goes back into our old conversation of just it's like the Heisman or the Super Bowl MVP. Your team won. The quarterback gets it. Great. Yep. You know, but we've seen like, hey, Super Bowl 42 with that Giants defense, Eli Manning got the MVP. I don't know. I'd like to go, well, Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan were really unbelievable. I do wish there was another avenue they could pay the defensive players a little bit more respect, maybe with some other type of award or a Todd Bowles, just to add some importance to what they did.
And I brought this up about 20 minutes ago. Brady, when you have Brady, you know you have a chance.
Right.
So if I'm a defensive player, offensive player, like I know that guy won down 28-3. We always have a chance. That confidence level cannot be understated with what Brady gives you. And I thought that was on display. That the Buccaneers looked really, really confident.
Yes, they did. Dan, they're really talented. You know, as we saw last night. You know, they're, and I know I came on during the show earlier in the year and said, man, when they play their best ball, they look as good as anybody in the sport. There's just not a lot of weakness to anything they are, any one area of their football team. We just wondered, can they all get it together and play at a high level, you know, with this weird year and get it done in time? And I would say most times no, but that's where Brady comes in, to your point, I think. You know, he gives everybody the confidence, the polish, the work ethic. He lights the fire under everyone's butt, whether he's saying it with words or not, because they see him working and they go, I don't want to let him down.
What are the odds that Gronk, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette would all contribute in a big way?
Well, and to me, that's the Brady effect too. They're not there if it isn't for Brady. You know, that's the other aspect of the whole thing that I think is just, you can't quantify it with stats or anything like that. This team was awesome. Fournette, Gronk, Antonio Brown came there because of Tom Brady. And that is special. That is what Brady is, the ultimate general, the ultimate clutches quarterback ever. But it was a great team effort. And I think where I really undervalued the game more than anything to me, Dan, you know, yeah, I thought the O-line for the Chiefs would be able to hold up a little bit better. And I think the other aspect is Patrick Mahomes was nowhere near 100%. And that was a big aspect of the game. His ability not to be able to really run full speed, or some of those throws he made where he had to throw the ball away, I would go, man, 5 weeks ago, he would have turned the corner there and threatened the line of scrimmage. And now guys would have had to come up to him and make a tackle, and he would have thrown a laser by them. That was a big aspect of the game, I think, that we all could talk about a little bit more.
Yeah, I thought that would have been Buffalo's game plan or Cleveland's game plan, is to make him run, put pressure on him with that toe, and hit him. If you don't sack him, hit him. And they had 24 pressures. They hit him 12 times. Brady got hit twice. And it almost felt like Mahomes was back at Texas Tech. The officiating in the first half, how much credence do you give to some questionable calls there?
I don't like any of them. Listen, the Bucs were the better team. The Bucs were going to win the damn game no matter what. So I'm not sitting here trying to make excuses or do anything like that. I'm just looking as a football fan, and everything we watch through the playoffs. This is, to me, one of the issues in the NFL right now. We get the regular season. All those were called pass interference, all regular season. I wrote this on Twitter last night. I just kind of wrote, these are penalties. But the problem is they haven't been penalties all playoffs. That's where it bothered me about it. And now it's 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and the show of the game is going to become the referees. you know, on some very ticky-tack questionable calls. I thought it's just one of those moments where I'd go, that hasn't been consistent with what we've seen in the playoffs. Just let these guys play. I thought that was a little bit bad on the NFL's part.
He's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. Should a team trade for Carson Wentz?
Yes. Well, I mean, I'll state it first to go. Carson Wentz needs to get the hell out of Philadelphia, period. He's in a no-win situation. Jalen Hurts is still there. So what? They brought in coaches that like you. As soon as you play bad, the whole city of Philadelphia is going to go, you stink, get the hell out of there. So he's got to go. And I do think, hey, the Colts, Chris Ballard and company, Frank Reich has history with them. I would think they have Carson Wentz towards the top of their list as far as acquiring quarterbacks.
Yeah, I just don't know how much you trade for him because right. You're taking him. It's like Jared Goff. You're taking him off your hands. You're taking him off your salary cap.
Right.
I was told that the Eagles were asking too much, and that's a couple of first-round picks and maybe a player, but I don't know. It feels like if I'm the Colts or the Bears, if I'm going in on Carson Wentz, why don't I go all in on Deshaun Watson?
Listen, I hear you. I think you make a good point. And what I would want to tell you, Dan, is go like, why would Chicago want Carson Wentz? Why? I mean, to me, they're playing with fire with wanting him too. If he doesn't play good, they're just going to go, look, Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace can't evaluate quarterbacks. Philadelphia didn't even want this guy. Why did we bring him in here? To me, there's too much of a negative conversation about Wentz to want to be in Chicago. And I agree with what you're saying. They got to be careful about how much they ask to trade for him. One, you're right about the money situation. You're taking him off the hand because of that. And two, listen, there's a negative connotation around Carson Wentz right now. So you're taking a little gamble and taking him on anyways, because if it doesn't work out, everyone's going to go, Philadelphia didn't want him. Why the hell did you guys? And that's why I can understand teams saying we're not going to give up the house for Carson Wentz.
Any chance Drew Brees doesn't retire? And if he does, are they set at quarterback?
Well, I would expect Drew Brees to retire. I mean, it's an amazing career, but I think we can all see the skills have clearly diminished. And listen, without, you know, being shy here, he's one of the negative aspects of their team, really, the last few years. So I would expect him to not be there anymore. Now, the quarterback on their team, yes, I think that he's a believer in Taysom Hill, and I think he really likes
Jameis Winston.
I couldn't think of his damn name there. I think Sean Payton likes both of those guys. So, yes, I think the quarterback of their team is on their team right now, and they'll try to re-sign Jameis Winston in free agency.
Hey, thanks for coming on this football season, and we appreciate your time. And what do you do now?
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say. Why are you saying goodbye to me? I mean, are you going to call me in the quarterback draft or free agency? I mean, I'm kind of good at that stuff. I mean, geez, I didn't know I was just going to toss me into the trash.
Well, this was just sort of a, you know, hey, thank you. The season ended, but we're going to call you.
Okay.
I promise we'll call you.
All right, good. I'm still in the circle of trust. We're still friends and the trust tree and all that.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Just as long as I am with you, the hell with Fritzy and the rest of the crew. I don't care about them.
I can't guarantee Fritzy won't bother you, but you know, I'll try to keep it to a minimum.
Okay. Thank you, man.
Thank you,
appreciate
Chris.
Appreciate it.
That's Chris Sims, Pro Football Talk Live co-host. And to clarify something I said last week with Carson Wentz, I was told by the same source that told me that the Broncos had offered their first-round pick and Drew Lock to the Detroit Lions for Matthew Stafford. Told me about that there was no interest with Carson Wentz. Well, the timing of when I was told this to when I revealed it is not fair to my source, because at the time, Chicago and Indy were interested in Matthew Stafford. And then I think that they got more interested in Carson Wentz when they didn't get Matthew Stafford. So in fairness to my source, the timing of that was probably not fair, because there is interest now, as we've seen with a lot of the insiders saying that he's going to be traded. But and I never doubted that he was going to be traded, but they said it could happen very soon. I think the concern from what I was told is that the Eagles were maybe asking too much for Carson Wentz, and that's why you didn't have this as a front burner thing for the Bears and the Colts. That's why they were looking at Matthew Stafford, because Matthew Stafford is a first-round draft pick. You're done. And you don't have to worry about a big salary there. He's actually a bargain. That's why those two teams were interested in Matthew Stafford. They didn't get him. Then all of a sudden, they started to kick the tires on Carson Wentz. So for any NFL insiders who I hurt their feelings, I apologize. I'm an NFL outsider, but this was just information that I was told. So if it happens and he's traded very soon, then I apologize. Yes, Pauline.
My Chicago friends were calling and discussing all weekend. There is not a big desire for the Bears to acquire Carson Wentz. I think the Bears fans think, we're getting a guy that the Eagles do not want on their roster. Okay, how good could he be? But then I see Dan Orlovsky say, this could be a score. You're getting a guy who is, at one point, one of the highest-end quarterbacks in the league as far as promise. It's very troubling.
But why do you bring in Nick Sirianni from the Colts, an offensive coordinator, you think, to fix Carson Wentz, but now the Colts are interested in him, and you just brought in their offensive coordinator. And at the time, I thought they're bringing in the offensive coordinator to help fix Carson Wentz. Maybe that's not the case. Yes, McLeod.
I thought they fired Doug Peterson because Peterson didn't want to work with Wentz. That was like the headlines.
Yeah, and maybe that's the case, that Sirianni came in and... Actually, it doesn't make sense, McLevin.
What if Nick
Because
Foles...
if Doug Peterson had moved on from Carson Wentz, but you're bringing in an offensive coordinator, you could have kept Doug Peterson to coach Jalen Hurts.
What if Nick Foles and Carson Wentz are together again?
That I thought would be, if the stars are aligned and all of a sudden Nick Foles is in Chicago and you have Carson Wentz there. And somehow Nick Foles replaces Carson Wentz and goes on a magical run in the post. Now it's the Bears. That can't happen. Yes, Paul.
I'm thinking about taking a year off with the Bears. I think I'm just going to maybe do some like work in the community, maybe some yard work. I think it would relax me.
We'll take a break. Play of the Day's up next. And your phone calls. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're going to play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
Mahomes running to his right. Look out, he may run. Mahomes directly. No, throw the end down. Battle intercepted. Picked off at the end zone. Bucks are going to beat the Chiefs. We're the champions of the world, and we still have a minute 33 to go. Devin White, what a great second season.
Seton, can you recap that play-by-play?
Mahomes, he's going to run. Cousin run. Zip it out. Oh, no, intercepted. Cousin run.
Got it. Get. Do it. Go. Buccaneers Radio Network, Devin White. He had a couple of tackles for losses last night, led the Buccaneers in tackles last night, had the interception. And it's an interception. The last time the Chiefs did not score a touchdown in a game, Week 11, 2017, Alex Smith was the starting quarterback. Play of the day, brought to you by the supplement I take every day. It's M-Drive. Go to mdrivedan.com. M-Drive, powerful ingredients backed by science, help you get energized, stronger, leaner. Don't let age beat you. Refind your prime with M-Drive. Here's Patrick Mahomes after the loss of just how bad a loss this was.
Obviously, I didn't play the way I wanted to play. I mean, what else can you say? All you can do is leave everything you have on the field, and I feel like the guys did that. They were the better team today. They beat us pretty good. The worst that I think I've been beaten in a long time. But I'm proud of the guys and how they fought till the very end of the game.
And a classy move by him, but I would, of course, expect nothing less from him. He went and made sure he found Tom Brady after the loss. And he wanted to make sure that he, I think he and Tom have a pretty good relationship here. Or maybe it's more of a mentor type feeling that Tom has, or he understands what Patrick Mahomes is and what he's going to do in his career. But it was classy that Patrick Mahomes, after a game like that, he got humbled. I think the Chiefs got humbled last night. That'd probably be the best way I would describe, sum that up there. Yeah, McLevin.
Now Mahomes is about to have a kid. He won't be sleeping. He's getting surgery.
You know what I would do? I'd just make sure I have a better offensive line than I had last night. That be where I'd start. Yeah, Paul.
If I were a free agent offensive lineman, I would have my agent call the Chiefs today.
Let's get some phone calls here. Best and worst of the weekend. Al in Atlanta. Hi, Al. What's on your mind?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Al.
Hey, Dan.
Hey, Al.
Got a comment in the best and worst. The best is, well, we got our answer to age and wisdom versus youth and exuberance. Sadly, we don't have to like the actual answer. The worst was just all the drop passes and the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs just not playing as well as we've seen them play. And I thought it was Robert Kraft, but clearly it's Tom Brady who has the referees in his pocket.
Wow.
Maybe that's what he's doing when he gets to the stadium so early, leaving himself ample time to grease up the refs before the game.
All right, Al. Thank you. Come on. And maybe you believe this. It's like, Jordan gets all the calls. LeBron gets all the calls. Brady gets all the calls. Somehow the great players get all the calls. I don't know if the refs get together and they conspire. Hey, we gotta cut Tom a break here. I mean, come on. You know? It's been almost 2 years since he won a title. That's forever for Tom. Look, I don't like when the officials are part of the headlines here, but there were a couple of plays where I think you had to throw a flag. Now, there were retaliation moments there with Jones and Tyrann Mathieu. I wouldn't have thrown a flag there. I would have just said, basically, it's flags on both sides, and let's go. Let's play on. The interference call in the end zone, I wouldn't have called that. The tripping, you kind of have to call. It's obvious whether Evans could have made the catch or not. But it just felt like Kansas City was more physical in their secondary than Tampa was, or maybe the appearance was because they weren't calling, you know, the same kind of penalties on the Buccaneers secondary. So that to me was surprising, but I don't think Kansas City made adjustments. I think that's the amazing part of this, particularly on offense. It's almost like, no, we're the Chiefs. We're going to score. And then they didn't. And then you got Mahomes on a bad toe back there. You make him run. You're hitting him. Even if you don't sack him. Yeah, Paulie.
After that goal line stand, though, I thought it was going to go the other way. That when, as soon as it happened, like, oh, the Bucs, they threw it to an offensive tackle, and this is going to be where it goes the other way, a big onslaught.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
Yeah, I thought it was a big, big turning point, or it could have been. You have a tackle eligible. That was a brilliant call. But, you know, it was a great defensive play. And then I thought, this is where Mahomes takes him down in like a 98-yard drive or whatever, and then it changes momentum. And they just never gained any momentum. There was never the, okay, now look out, here come the Chiefs. We'll check in with the Buccaneers coming up. More phone calls coming up as well. 1 hour in the books. Two more to go on this Monday. Dan Patrick Show. Close out the first hour. Any credit card can offer cash back, but only Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. So it's like getting one of those birthday cards that shape like cash, so you already know there's cash inside before opening it. But in this case, it's stuffed with your first year cash back match, and you don't even have to send a thank you note. It's called, conveniently enough, Cash Back Match. Only by Discover card. Learn more at discover.com/match. Discover.com/match. Discover, something brighter.